Occasion on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Unity. Broadcasting live from the nuclear-free, in name only, New Zealand, accelerated by the Fukushima nuclear particles leaching into the Pacific Ocean. It is a nice, bright, warm, and rapidly vibrating existence. And it goes in the dark too. We are broadcasting from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland in New Zealand, the island chained nation. In the sunny, slave South Pacific. Bringing in a little bit of humour into these dark times because, hey, in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And we talk about conspiracies a lot on this show, namely because the vast majority of stuff that goes on technically qualifies as one, and we want to talk about reality. Unlike most of the mainstream scumbaggery, filth, that are slurping back the eggnog of tyranny, which I'm not keen on, because eggnog is frickin' awful, especially if it happens to be shoved down your throat with a nightstick, after you got tagged, after being milked, to make the eggnog yourself from your own nipples. Now, today is an auspicious occasion, as I mentioned before. It's an anniversary of the, in my opinion, one of the worst moments. Oh, it's like the turning point in American history. The assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, otherwise known as JFK. And of course, you can't really say too much about the statistics that most people that walk the earth today think that it was a conspiracy. Because you'd have to be fairly, I scarce to say the word under FCC regulations. You get the idea. You have to be pretty frickin' stupid to not realise it. Because the evidence is so stark, so bold, and so cacophonous that it would take the sheer will of denial, which incidentally is quite strong these days, in order to think otherwise. We have a very special guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Very special indeed. His name's John Hankey, and he joins us now on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinnie, how's it going?
Borderlining on fabulous is my standard response.
Okay, well, let's try to push it over the edge, shall we?
I always like to go over the edge.
Well, so, who's going to push first?
Well, I would like to hear a bit about yourself, your background, how you got into your particular areas of research. I mean, for myself and the listeners who may not be terribly familiar with your work. Especially, this is something we encourage people to do when we bring them on as guests. Plug your websites and such.
Yes, let's do that. Bushkilljfk.com. Bush, as in Bush, killed, as in killed, JFK, as in JFK.com. Gee, I wonder what this guy thinks, who was behind the Kennedy assassination. The movie that I've made, I've made two versions of it, and I'm going to have to come out with a third one because I keep stumbling upon more and more more evidence that is more incredible than anybody could imagine, than I could have imagined with my weak little imagination, I suppose, that shows that Bush was not only involved, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. The Bushes are puppets, right? They carry water for the Rockefellers and the Harrimans. They're not billionaires even. They're thugs. They're hired thugs. My favorite comparison is in the movie Titanic, the evil rich guy has this thug who works for him. And that's who the Bushes are. They go out and they do the dirty work for the billionaires. But Bush was involved in every level of the assassination, the planning, the execution, and the cover-up. And somebody just sent me something, and I don't, you know, I've got lots of warming up, but I'm about to throw my ace on the table. Bush was arrested coming out of the Daltex building as a shooter. So that's my ace. I'm throwing it on the table. We can back up and warm up to it. Anyway, I was always a great student. I was rather conservative politically, but I liked school and I liked reading and I liked history. And I got straight A's in it, and I didn't know anything. I discovered when I was about 20 years old that I was in college and doing very well, and a friend of mine showed me a bootleg copy of the Zapruder film. Jim Garrison had subpoenaed the Zapruder film, and no sooner did he get his hands on it and, you know, had to sign in blood that he wouldn't make copies, and the first thing he did was make copies and distributed it to people who made copies, who distributed it to people who made copies, and just, right, you got the picture. And eventually one of those found its way into my hands, and I saw it and realized that everything that I had been studying all my life was a load of manure, and that I had to start over again, and took that enthusiasm. That's 40 years ago. And, you know, I 40 years ago, you could read everything that there is on the subject in a couple of months. And I did, right? I mean, there were three or four books, maybe five, and a few key articles. And that was pretty much it. And I did, and then I started going around and doing presentations. I went to my old college, and I went to my old high school. And then I got a job teaching, and I worked out a few lesson plans where I would put on, there was a Walter Cronkite special that was done by PBS, and I would show that to my students and have them take a quiz on what they'd learned from it. And then we'd analyze, right, their answers and find out how thoroughly they had all been fooled. And then we would go back over and have a careful look at what Cronkite had presented. And but I was satisfied doing that sort of thing. And I'm hoping that in the second hour we'll be able to get into what then set me off and got me much, much deeper into this whole mess, which was the death of John Kennedy Jr., the murder of John Kennedy Jr. And I realized that I developed very rather quickly all of this evidence that he had in fact been murdered, but I wanted to try to figure out who, and to be able to figure that out, I felt like it was a reasonable conclusion that the people who had killed the father had also killed the son, and so I had to go back and nail down this evidence. I'd heard here and there bits and pieces of the notion that there was evidence that in fact linked George Bush to the assassination. And so then I jumped into that with both feet, to say the least, both feet, two arms, and my head attached. And, you know, here we are today talking about it. But anyway, I have a couple of movies. The first one is JFK 2, The Bush Connection. And you can watch that for free. You can buy it for $20 if you're so inclined. You can go to Amazon and buy it for $20. But you can also find it for free if you are so inclined. I made a new one that I thought was, I think, is much, much better. It's more sharply focused, and people will get the fruit of that reworking if they listen in. But I didn't at the time have the evidence that I have now that shows that Bush was in fact arrested as a shooter. But so I'll take a breath here and let you jump in.
Well, it's amazing to just how long it takes for evidence to come out when stuff's classified under national security or whatever other apparatus. And it gets to the point where you're like, man, by the time people will accept the truth as an entire society and it becomes official, you know, like the president, Barack H. Hussein O'Barry or what have you, comes out and says, due to new evidence, we determined that JFK was killed by George Bush Sr. Right. Until that happens, it's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Well, and you see, one of the things is that that floors.
Oh, yeah, but hold on a second.
Sure.
They could send in what's left of SEAL Team 6 to take out George H.W. Bush. and then throw his body in the water, as is the customary under Christian tradition, and never produce any evidence. And I'm sure Obama's ratings will just go up.
I shouldn't be the least bit surprised. Well, it's interesting to note, I think, that whenever the Republicans get excited about presidents, they have to go back to Reagan. And it has been my experience that I sell more movies to Republicans than I do to anybody else. Well, libertarians, certainly. But Republicans, the vast majority of them, have no love or trust whatsoever for the Bushes. I think there's a huge number of Republicans who recognize that 9/11 was an inside job. And my standard response when Republican friends of mine watch this movie is that they sit there with their mouths open and don't have a whole lot to say. They're surprised that there is that much evidence, but they're not really shocked to find out that the Bushes are as evil as they always suspected that they were.
Mm.
And running along with that, one of the things that I'm finding is that it isn't so much that there's new evidence coming out as that we're looking at the evidence that has been out for a while and discovering what it means and seeing things in it that we didn't see in it before. Although there is some new stuff. I made myself a couple of notes, and one of the notes that I made to myself in preparing for this interview was that, you know, it's a really amazing world that we live in. I'm really, really pleased to be here. But people have been saying for some time that Earl Warren was told, if you don't show, right, and the Warren Commission, right, that Johnson called Warren in, and Warren said he didn't want to lead the Warren Commission, and Johnson said, you have to. And he said, the reason that you have to is that there's all of this evidence that Oswald was a Cuban agent. And if you don't show that this was not a conspiracy, if you don't, you know, put the official stamp that this was a lone nut acting on his own, then the American people will clamor for an invasion of Cuba. And then that will start World War III. And we can't have that. And so you have to do this. And so Earl Warren went out and led the Warren Commission. It's rather shocking to me. Mark Lane has a new book out, and you know, I love Mark Lane. I don't think that I would sell my children in his behalf, but just about anything else that I have, I'd be happy to lay at his disposal. I think he's a really wonderful guy, and it has come out with a new book and really wonderful. And if the only book that's out there that's better than his is his previous book, I think. But he points this out. He finds the document. He found the document that showed that, in fact, Lyndon Johnson sent somebody to one of the early meetings of the Warren Commission to present this and say, look, there's this evidence that Oswald was acting as a Cuban agent, and you have to suppress it. You have to be the guys in charge of squashing this rumor in order to avoid World War III. But haven't seen anybody yet who stops and says, well, wait a minute. So that means that Earl Warren, who we have been saying all these bad things about all these years, really isn't that evil of a person, right? I mean, he had a reason for doing this. He had some justification for doing this. And I think that that's appropriate, that we cut Earl Warren some slack and maybe some of the rest of these people.
And why don't we just point the finger back at Bush? I mean, because if you want to define evil, here's how you define it. Did they support the Nazi empire while they were exterminating copious quantities of people all over the world? In the case of Prescott Bush, the granddaddy of George W. Bush, yes! Yes, they did, including about 30% of their explosives, 25% of their Nazi pig iron plate, and goodness knows how much other resources. Ultimately, it was a decent proportion of the entire Nazi war effort was funded through the United States under Prescott Bush's watch and kind hindrance. So there's no skipping out of that kind of thing. And it'd be like it'd be like America electing the son of Hitler himself to office, right? That would be how much of an enraging craziness that it would be.
Well, we'll have to do another show sometime on the Holocaust, but where to start? The bankers were behind the Holocaust, and you know, sometime when we do a show on that, there's you know, just startling documentary evidence to establish the fact. Let me say one thing quick, which is that in 1942, there was a guy named Captain Mayer who wrote an article that got printed in the New York Times. I believe it was called Current Affairs, the history section of the Sunday New York Times. And the title of the article was "I Was Hitler's Boss." And if you Google that, you can get your hands on the article. This UC Santa Cruz professor has posted it. "I Was Hitler's Boss." And he says that Hitler took the test to become a postman, a letter carrier, and he failed it. And he says that all of the reports that Hitler worked for German Army Intelligence. The guy tells the whole story. Hitler was a Red. He was a communist. Well, really? Yes. He made, not as Der Führer, as Der Führer, he was a communist hater. But there was a revolution, a communist revolution in Munich, and Mayer explains much of this. Hitler got arrested along with all of the other members of his army unit for being communists, and they tortured many of them, and they tortured Hitler, and Hitler confessed and ratted out all of the leaders and was then recruited into German Army Intelligence, and they sent him. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. We're heading out to break, so we'll leave it on that cliffhanger. Hitler was recruited into the German Army Intelligence. How interesting. We'll be right back after the break on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
There's only one thing I need to know.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high and canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. The travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
This is the Nazi.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo,
song.
Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winston.
Because believe me, Nazi bank of debt is everywhere. Not the worst thing about Nazi bank of debt is that you're in debt to Nazis.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. And my very special guest, John Hankey, was just talking about the recruitment of Mein Führer, Adolf Hitler, to the German intelligence. John, welcome back.
Thank you. Continue. So, Hitler was arrested. He was recruited into German army intelligence. This is all written by Captain Mayer. This is all published in the New York Times. Mayer says that he taught Hitler to give a speech. They gave him lessons in anti-Semitism. And Mayer says he ordered him to join the Nazi party. And he says that he wouldn't have done that because he understood full well that it was illegal for soldiers to belong to political parties. But he did it because he was ordered to do so by General Ludendorff, who was the highest ranking member of the military. But he says that Ludendorff did it on behalf of the bankers with whom he was meeting in the Four Seasons Hotel. Now, we're going to make a long story short on this, I think, because we got lots of other stuff to cover. But if somebody sends me an email, if you go to the website, you can send me an email, and I've written 35 pages, single-spaced, putting all of this stuff together. Whose interests were served by the Holocaust? And it's certainly not, well,
I would say Israel.
That's a pretty good answer. And in fact, the Rothschilds are demonstrably involved in the Holocaust. But the Rothschilds are not the only bankers in England. They're not the only bankers who profited from the Holocaust. That what's clear is that the Germans did not. Right? What is insane is that the plans for the Holocaust were put together, were the first time they sat down and discussed doing this in an organized fashion was at the Wannsee Conference, which was scheduled for the day of Pearl Harbor. And because of Pearl Harbor, they set it back, I believe it was a month. And so they had lost their first battles on the Eastern Front. Everybody who understood that because the German army was so much smaller than the Russian army, they could never win a pitched battle fight, knew that because the Blitzkrieg had failed, right? It had run out of gas. It nobody, I'm sorry, all the smart money at that point was betting on the Russians, and the Germans were just taking, let me finish the sentence. The Russians were taking a horrible beating, and then the Americans come into the war, threatening to open up a front of, on the right, a Western front, and at that point they decide to divert trains and men and materiel from fighting the Russians to the slaughter of Jews. And from the German perspective, that can't possibly make any sense whatsoever. There were more Jews in the Soviet Union than there were in the hands of the Third Reich at that point. Why would they then divert these resources to slaughter the Jews? And the question revert to is, who benefited? The bankers, the Nazi Holocaust killed a number of Jews with bank accounts, the contents of which totaled $1 trillion, $1945. The bankers benefited to the tune of $1 trillion, $1945, from the Holocaust, because the victims were not able to collect the money because they were, the families, the extended families, had been exterminated. Anyway, that's the short story.
It's just basically wiping out the competition. And it's interesting that you said that the Luftwaffe and the Blitzkrieg was kind of running out of gas, because I found out, interestingly enough, that they wouldn't have been able to get off the ground if they didn't have the patented substances from U.S. Standard Oil Rockefeller owned.
Very good. So let's take that one up. That one is worth the trouble, because it brings us back. You mentioned that Prescott was the CEO of Union Bank of New York, which was seized by the U.S. government in 1942 as a Nazi asset. Prescott could have gone to jail. He didn't go to jail. One of the most significant parts of that story, however, is that J. Edgar Hoover would have been very, very familiar with the name Bush. He would have known, he would have recognized very clearly that the Bushes were leaders among the Nazi bankers. I mean, they were leading lieutenants of the Rockefeller and Harriman generals of the Nazi bankers. But Harry Truman, one of the reasons that he was so popular and therefore was selected as Roosevelt's running mate was because he had William Farish, the chairman of Standard Oil, testifying in front of his committee and just reaming him about the fact that the Standard Oil had developed a patent for synthetic gasoline and synthetic rubber. The Nazis could not possibly have made the war without access to those patents. The Standard Oil petitioned the government to allow them, the U.S. government, to allow them to sell these patents to the Germans, and they were blocked by the Defense Department, the War Department at that time, said, no, you know, obviously, right, you can't give these things to the Germans. If we have a fleet of submarines blocking their ability to go to the tropics to get rubber, and they can't get gasoline, how can they possibly make war? The War Department blocked them then from getting access, and the Nazis, the banker Nazis in the State Department, managed to wheedle their way around it. And they not only gave the Germans the patent, but they built the factory for them. And one of the factories that they built was at Auschwitz, where they produced some of the secret ingredients, the anti-knock compounds. That's what tetraethyl is, the anti-knock compound that the Standard Oil had developed, and that was one of the things that they were producing at Auschwitz for Standard Oil. The point is, as you were saying, that they, without the support of the American Nazis, the German Nazis could not have made war. Another point that you can make, and we'll see whether I ever manage to get my hands on those documents, but I have gotten as far as finding the fact that Fritz Thyssen was meeting with Averell Harriman, and it's generally agreed by the historical community that Thyssen was not giving the Nazis enough money to cover their expenses, and nobody knows where the rest of that money was coming from. Thyssen wrote a book called I Paid Hitler, and he talks about the money that he gave to the Nazi Party in its early days. But the Nazi Party, and this is in that other article that I was mentioning, I Was Hitler's Boss, Captain Mayer talks about how German Army intelligence was responsible for organizing the Nazi Party. Virtually all of the early members of the Nazi Party were operatives of German Army intelligence. And this was in the height of this terrible depression going on in Germany, and the Nazis would throw a party in which you would come and they'd give you beer and pretzels and sausage and play polka music. And when everybody was, you know, fed and feeling happy, Hitler would stand up and give a speech. Well, that's pretty hard to compete with, but where did the money come from? Well, Tyson claimed that he gave the money that the Nazis needed to put on that sort of a performance, and it turns out that the money that he gave was not nearly enough. Where did the rest of it come from? Well, Averell Harriman was meeting with Tyson in Germany at the time, and I can't prove it at this point, but my speculation is that Harriman provided the money, and guess who was his right-hand man at the time? Prescott Bush. And for the rest of the career, of Prescott's career, he was Harriman's right-hand man. When he wasn't working for the Rockefellers, who were giving the Nazis these secret formulas for synthetic rubber and synthetic gasoline, so that Prescott is very, very thoroughly washed in the stench of the highest level Nazis in the world. I mean, I think that it's reasonable to suggest that the Harrimans and the Rockefellers outranked Hitler himself, given that Hitler was really a low-level operative of German Army intelligence.
Just a low-level scumbag with the gift of the gab. I think I can identify with that. But there's one element that I wanted to hear is the element of Smedley Butler. You know, guys recruited by top American Nazis to stage a coup against the American government and amalgamated into the Nazi Empire by the highest people that they could get. How many people did they have recruited? Like something like several hundred thousand or something, ready, willing, and able Nazis in America. It's quite stark when you really think about it that there is this Nazi component that is now running the United States helter-skelter without any real opposition.
Right, and have been. And how do you account for the fact that these guys were going to overthrow Roosevelt, their plot got exposed, and nobody went to prison? How is it that Roosevelt would not have the nerve to try to put any of these people in prison? It's rather astonishing, I think. But in any case,
I have a theory because he was afraid that after they come out of prison, they'd be better criminals.
Okay. All right.
As is the case with the current correction system.
I have a feeling that he was afraid that instead of overthrowing him, they would assassinate him. Right. Instead of organizing a coup, they would merely organize an assassination. That might perhaps have been what held him back. If people go to my website, actually, if you go to BushkillJFK.com and you click on Ask the Director, there's an article about the threats of the military to assassinate Obama. I think they're rather overt threats of the military to assassinate Obama. But I wanted to get to the story. I mean, I've been taking a lot of heat in the United States from some... But used to be, at least in my mind, leading lights in the JFK research community, attacking my work for suggesting that Bush was involved in the assassination. But I'd like to review some of that. If people don't know, they should, that 5 days after the assassination, J. Edgar Hoover wrote a memo about a meeting that took place at the FBI headquarters the day after the assassination, and he says that the State Department had alerted the FBI that they were concerned that these what Hoover calls them is misguided anti-Castro Cubans. And if I need to translate that for you, I will. That's the CIA's Cubans. There's no possible other translation for it. So the CIA's Cubans, he was concerned, were planning to launch and to use the Kennedy assassination as an excuse to launch an invasion of Cuba. The State Department asked the FBI to investigate this. So the FBI investigated it and went down to Miami and found that all of the Cubans in Miami were brokenhearted about the president's assassination and had no plans to invade Cuba whatsoever. And they then called in Mr. George Bush of the CIA in order to give them their report. Now, the title of this memo is Assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And, you know, I suppose everybody's entitled to their own opinion about the meaning of that memo. But, you know, it's taken me quite a while just thinking about it in order to come close to making an adequate analysis, I think. There's some people who haven't gotten to that point yet. Most of the first people who looked at that memo thought that it was shocking because it showed that George Bush was in the CIA in 1963, when in fact he claimed that he wasn't in the CIA until they made him the director of CIA. I'd like to give you the date on that, but I think it's about 74, 76. I don't have it in front of me. In any case, but I think that people have tended in the past to breeze by the fact that, first of all, the title of that memo was Assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And it then names Bush as this CIA official who is obviously an officer, right? I mean, if you get called to the FBI headquarters to receive the FBI's reports on the activities of misguided anti-Castro Cubans, I think it's really very, very reasonable to conclude that you are a supervisor of the CIA's misguided anti-Castro Cubans, virtually all of whom were in Dallas that day. I mean, this is some stuff that is actually starting to be breaking, that leaders of that community of the CIA's anti-Castro Cubans are now saying that they, in fact, were in Dallas that day. I don't know that we have anybody saying that they were pulling triggers. But I'd actually, you know what, I don't want to name any names at the moment because it genuinely is still breaking and I don't want to give anybody any ideas about who should get shot tomorrow. But
somebody might be getting shot tomorrow?
Well, would that be shocking that they would kill somebody who was trying to reveal CIA secrets in regard to the Kennedy assassination? I think that that's par for the course, actually. You know, for the last,
In fact, I heard that there was somewhere upwards of like 100 people that had been killed since JFK who were like witnesses and stuff like that soon after the assassination.
And
but we'll have to talk about this. We'll have to talk about this more after the break. My very special guest is John Hankey, and we'll be right back after this break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution. Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Bonkers.
Every spin in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on American Freedom Radio, the most bonkers 2 hours you will ever freaking hear, because the world is an incredibly crazy place, and quite frankly, you can't overpower it, so sometimes you have to become one with the madness. My very special guest is John Hankey, and we're talking over the break about how, hold on a second, we brought him here to talk about JFK. It's JFK's anniversary of being shot in the head and the arm and the back and the various other places on his body by only one bullet, of course. And we haven't actually talked so much about him at all. We've been talking about Nazis. But in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. And I find that with reporting, being somebody with absolutely no reporting training, of course, so I'm probably more qualified than most reporters, that it's not so much the reporting of the existence of a dot that is your primary focus. It is the reporting of the dots connected that is your objective, or at least freaking well should be. Not to report the incidents or the event, but the context on which that event was cultivated, carried out, and the ramifications thereof. That, I think, is a far better way to get an understanding of a topic. But I could be wrong.
John Henke, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny. I happen to agree with you that, and we could wax all philosophical, but we'll run out of time before we get to the end of that one. Just on the off chance that there are people in the audience who don't know very much about the Kennedy assassination and need to have that capped for them, I think you can wrap it up rather quickly. Vincent Bugliosi, among others, but he wrote 1,600 pages trying to show that Oswald acted alone. But let me take up that topic for 90 seconds and see if I can't deal with it. The police officers, two of the most highly qualified police officers in Dallas, one of them had won Deputy of the Year award the year before, and the other one owned a sporting goods store where he sold firearms and was therefore very expert, found a rifle in the sixth floor, and both of them identified it as a Mauser. And Roger Craig, the Deputy of the Year, describes how the other officer pointed to the lettering Mauser for him so that he could look at it. I mean, they didn't look at it and say, oh, gee, that looks like a Mauser. They read the name Mauser on it. But lo and behold, there's no record that Lee Harvey Oswald ever owned a Mauser. So they had to come up with this Mannlicher Carcano rifle. But I mean, that sort of knocks the whole thing out the window, I think, in one swing. But here's another one, which is that the FBI says that they tested the rifle, right, to see whether Oswald could commit the crime with the rifle. But before they could do that, they had to adjust the sight. And people who are familiar with the sights on firearms will know that, you know, there's an adjustment that you can do of the sight within certain limits. And if it's really out of range, well, then you have to do something else. And you put in a shim. You take a thin metal strip and you stick it in there and move it in the direction that you need it to go. And then you can do the fine tuning with the screws with which the sight will come equipped. They had to put in three shims, and then they could do the fine tuning. So that there's no way that Oswald could have. I mean, if Oswald fired that rifle, he must have been trying to hit somebody standing on the sidewalk and accidentally shot John Kennedy. But clearly, it wasn't the rifle that they found there. So that why anybody would write 1,600 pages when you have a beginning like that is well, I guess it isn't beyond me. You can figure it out. They got paid. That's why they did it. Anyhow. Kennedy's press secretary. It's one of the things, it's one of the lines from my videos, that this assassination, the facts of the assassination didn't start out as a secret. It was made into a secret. At the press conference, after Kennedy was announced dead, his press secretary came out into the assembled crowd of reporters and said that the president was dead, and then discussed with them the wounds that had been described by the doctors. And the doctors described an entrance wound on the throat. And this guy, Malcolm Kilduff, in the video of Malcolm Kilduff pointing to his right temple with his finger and saying, it was a simple matter, Tom. He's talking to Tom Weicker of the New York Times. It was a simple matter, Tom, of a bullet right through the head. And he shows the bullet entering the right temple of John Kennedy. And he doesn't show it exiting the back. But every Dallas doctor said there was a huge fist-sized exit wound in the back of Kennedy's head. Every single person in the Dallas emergency room described that hole. So, you know, there's this conspiracy theory, the lone assassin theory, done in a stroke or perhaps three strokes. But the Zapruder film shows Kennedy being thrown violently backward and to the left by the bullet that hit him in the right temple, right, and then went through his head and blew out the back. So we can dismiss, I think, the niceties or the details of the millions and millions and millions of other facts surrounding the evidence showing that this was a conspiracy, and we can just get right into, well, if it was a conspiracy, who did it? And one of the other topics that I take up in the video is the fact that you can prove that the body was altered before it was, between the time that it left Dallas and the time that it arrived for the autopsy in Bethesda. Before they performed the autopsy, they took photographs of the president's head, and there is an FBI report by two FBI reporters saying that it was clear to them that there had been surgery performed on the president's head, and all of the doctors have gone in Dallas have gone on record saying there was no surgery performed to the president's head. And then in the video also, there's one of the doctors from Dallas was brave and bold enough to get on camera and point to the wound on Kennedy, the right side of Kennedy's head, which he says has been carved open. It looks like somebody cut it and ripped it and pulled the scalp back. Those were his exact words. But he's also emphatic that that was not done in Dallas. And these are photographs that were taken before the autopsy started. And that means that Kennedy's body was loaded into a bronze casket in the Dallas emergency room. It was then Jackie Kennedy was with it and stayed with it in the ride to the airport. She stayed with it as it was loaded on the plane, and she got called forward. She left the side of that casket for 15, 20 minutes while she was called to the front of the airplane to witness Lyndon Johnson being sworn in. And when she returned, she stayed with that body until it arrived she stayed with that casket until it arrived in Bethesda. And you have five or six people of the soldiers working at Bethesda who say that the body was taken out of a pinkish-gray shipping casket. It didn't arrive in the bronze casket. It's somehow, in that 20 minutes that she was away from it, the body got removed. It got put on a different plane. It got flown to Bethesda. It arrived, they all say, before Jackie Kennedy and the ambulance arrived. So the one plane went slow and the other plane went fast. And it arrived, they took photographs, and they took photographs of a body that it had been operated on. The significance of that is not so much that it happened as to the dot that it makes and the connections of those dots, as you were just explaining. Who could possibly have stolen the body from the Secret Service under those circumstances and then taken it and operated on it and then returned it and been able to do that without anyone being the wiser? And I don't think that the Secret Service could have done it by themselves, and certainly the CIA couldn't have done it without the cooperation of the Secret Service, but the military people were very, very much involved in all of that. So you have a conspiracy involving the CIA and the Secret Service and the military, and you have Tom Weichert, as we were just discussing, of the New York Times, sitting there at this press conference. And the New York Times came out with an extra edition on the day of the assassination in which they discussed doctors talking about entrance wounds on the throat and about an entrance wound on the right temple and a large exit wound in the back of the head. And then the New York Times erased all of that. Well, who told them to do it, and who could have told them to do it, who would have been obeyed by the New York Times? So that I think you end up getting a conspiracy that is much larger than even the military, or certainly much larger than the CIA, and larger than the FBI. And who has the ability to have the contacts? I was at a...
There's a great quote. I forget who said it, that man is so tied up and hamstrung to a degree by the level of a conspiracy and the complexity of it that he simply can't process with his conscious mind because it's so immense.
Well, I was 20 years old and I'm confronting all this stuff, right? How could it possibly have happened? And then somebody handed me an article in which I learned about the Council on Foreign Relations, which, you know, includes the heads of all the military services and, you know, all of these, the heads of the New York Times. And you know, this vast, if you wanted to concoct a vast conspiracy, that would be the place to do it. And I was at a forum in Dallas it was probably the anniversary of the assassination, and certainly it was a day before, a day after, and the Republican Party was holding a convention in the same hotel at the same time, and this woman, you know, dressed to the nines, came walking up to us, and she said, you know, she's big and bold, and says, well, so who killed him? The CFR? And, you know, I was floored. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. What a genius.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll have to get into more of this after the break, because it sounds like it's about that time. My very special guest is John Hanke, and we'll be right back. In fact, you really do have to go and see his movie JFK 2. It's all over the place. Basically, if you Google it, you'll be able to find it, because, everybody thought there was only one JFK, and then he got shot in the head. We'll be right back.
Long on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded, stationed in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians, women, children, front lines. Listen, consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering
dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We have a bit of a problem. I am calling out to the listeners for donations because I'm getting kicked out of my current place of living at a time in which my girlfriend just took all the last of my money to get her teeth fixed. The most inconvenient timing you could ever conceive of. So yeah, I'm basically screwed and, I desperately need the help, and the generosity of the listeners. If you go to gorillamedia.co.nz or, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, there is a, chip in button there. We need about, $2,000 to get us into a new studio. It's basically, desperately needing your help there. And also we have banners of the Vinnie Eastwood Show DVDs, Mr. News DVDs, which I've made, designed, and can ship out to you about some very interesting topics like fluoride and the interesting history behind the vitamin C kind of cover-ups. Various other things as well, the scariest one of which would be the in-depth analysis into pesticides, global warming, swine flu, and various other little docos for you there that I've made. So please give generously to the Vinnie Eastwood Show because I just work really, really hard to try and make sure that New Zealand at least has a source of media where they get all these activists and people who know what the heck they're talking about on to say their piece because nobody else is doing it. Nobody else in the whole of New Zealand is doing what I'm doing. People have called me the Alex Jones of New Zealand. They've called the show the Coast to Coast AM of New Zealand. So if you are in New Zealand, please give generously so that we can keep serving you as best we can. Now, my very special guest now joining us via phone, because of course the CIA must have been messing with his Skype connection, is John Hankey. Welcome back.
Thank you. So shall we pick up where we left off?
You go for your life, mate.
Well, we were, weren't we? We were trying to get Bush into this thing. And there was a memo written by J. Edgar Hoover 5 days after the assassination saying that he was, that they called George Bush in to receive this report from the CIA, which some people say, oh, well, that shows that it was in the CIA, maybe. Well, actually, Bush claimed that it was another George Bush. And there's just so much evidence. There's now, I think, four or five former CIA people who said that, well, no, Bush was in the CIA. And the thing is, if you're in the CIA, people don't know what your position is, right? Everything is on a need-to-know basis. So they all assumed that he was just, that he had some lightweight position. But they don't, and they say that without any knowledge of it, but it's worth noting that when Bush was in Skull and Bones at Yale, his brother under the skin, his closest friend, was the head of hiring for CIA, and his father, Prescott, was very good friends with Alan Dulles. And in fact, there was an incident in which the CIA was plotting to kill Joe and Lai, and they had actually poisoned his food, and then they tried to call it off at the last minute, and the guys who ran and grabbed the bowl of rice or whatever it was ended up getting in a shooting, and it was investigated, and the person they sent to investigate this was Prescott Bush. And Dulles asked Prescott what was going on, and Prescott told him he didn't have a high enough clearance for him to fill him in on the details of what was going on. Of his investigation into this. So I'm rather under the impression that and this is rather makes sense, that Prescott outranked Dulles, and if Prescott Bush outranked Dulles, it's not something that you would read in the papers. Right? If you have an organization like the CIA, you don't want people to know who the real head of the organization is. In any case, Bush was a prince of the intelligence community, and there's every reason to think that he was more than what any of these people know that he was. But in any case, there's all this verification that it was that George Bush. That when Bush was, as I mentioned, that when he was in Skull and Bones, his closest friend was the son of the head of hiring for CIA. When he left CIA, he went to work for Neil Mallon, who, in the video, you get to see the letter written by Prescott Bush. Neil Mallon was, Prescott Bush said that Neil Mallon was a recruiter for CIA. So Bush went from being blood brothers with the son of the head of hiring for CIA and went to working for a recruiter for CIA, and then he went and set up Zapata Offshore Oil in the middle of CIA operations, 60 miles off the coast of Cuba, and there are any number of these Cubans who have said, yes, sure, we knew George Bush. He was a recruiter for Operation 40. Dallas was full of Operation 40 people. One of them, one of the most important of the Operation 40 people was E. Howard Hunt. And there are any number of witnesses who say that Hunt was in Dallas, that he was passing out maps and money to members of Operation 40, which was an assassination squad. So this Hoover memo perhaps says more than it seems to say. In any case, that's the first big, and really, I was shaken when I first encountered that memo, that the import of it was clear to me. But then it turns out that later in the afternoon, Bush made a phone call to the FBI at 1:45, and there's a memo, I believe the agent's name is Kitchell. And if you go to my website, Bush Killed JFK, and you scroll down past the videos, all of these documents are there. This letter written by Agent Kitchell talking about how Mr. George Bush of Zapata Oil, and he gives the address in Midland, Texas, and so on, so there's no question about it, called to tell us about, he wanted to report that an individual, one James Parrott, had been making threats against the president. And he says that he's registered in at the Sheraton in Dallas, but he's not there right now. He's in Tyler, Texas. And this is a little over, it's at 1:45, so that's an hour and 15 minutes after the assassination. It's 8 minutes, by the way, after the president had been declared dead, that Walter Cronkite first announced over the radio, which was the first announcement over any means that Kennedy was dead. He makes this phone call. Tyler, Texas is a 40-minute drive from Dallas, but we have the Hoover memo establishing that Bush was a supervisor. We have any number of other witnesses establishing that he was in Operation 40. He was a recruiter for Operation 40. His men are all over Dallas, and he's just outside of Dallas. E. Howard Hunt, E. Howard Hunt was, this is a very long story, and I'm trying to figure out in my head how to keep it from going way overboard. But a magazine, there was a memo released from Angleton to Jesus Angleton to Richard Helms, discussing the fact that Hunt was in Dallas and was involved in the assassination. And Spotlight Magazine printed the article, and Hunt sued for slander. And the jury listened to all the evidence, and they found that the preponderance of the evidence showed that Hunt was indeed in Dallas and involved in the assassination, as the magazine had said, and as the memo had said. He was Operation 40, and Bush is, according to this phone call, he's just outside of town. He's 40 miles, a 40-minute drive away. I guess that's about 40 miles. But he's not in Houston, which is where his company is located, and he's not in the Caribbean, which is where his oil derricks are located, and he's not in the South Pole, which is where Fletcher Prouty, who was an honest person involved in this stuff, they sent him to the South Pole to get him out of the way. Bush is rather in the middle of things. And I'm asking myself, why would he make such an incriminating phone call, right? I mean, if he hadn't made this phone call, All right, just because you're supervising E. Howard Hunt, just because we can establish that you were E. Howard Hunt's supervisor, that doesn't mean that you were supervising him on the day of the assassination until you make a phone call like this in which you establish that, one, you're on duty, and two, you're in the area, and three, that your assignment has something to do with the Kennedy assassination because you're calling the FBI to give them, you know, this really, really bogus lead about this guy James Parrott, who was an employee of George Bush. Anyway, and in no wise homicidal or anything else. It was a screwy thing, and people have looked at that and said, well, geez, it sounds like he's trying to establish his alibi that he's not in Dallas. But, you know, you don't have to be in Dallas to supervise the assassination, I don't think. You know, if I'm the basketball coach, and, you know, I coach basketball and I coach...
It's like George W. Bush said, it's amazing the things that you can accomplish with facts and phone calls.
Okay, all right. So the fact is, if he's not at the South Pole, I'm going to be suspicious of the fact that, that there are people in Operation 40 who have been identified as being involved in the assassination, and he's their identifiable supervisor. I'm going to be suspicious of him unless he's at the South Pole, and he establishes that he's right in the area. It just seemed like a crazy phone call, and I called it that for any number of years. And in the first edition of JFK 2, I call it weird, and there's a later version that is called Dark Legacy, in which I don't call it weird anymore now. I call it as really, you know, a startlingly incriminating piece of evidence that you have to scratch your head and ask, why would this guy have done this? So then I get a phone call from a friend of mine who has discovered something that's been around for 35 years. I mentioned Roger Craig. Roger Craig was the deputy of the year in 1962, and he was out on the street and saw Oswald get into a green station wagon, and then he went into the book depository and was there when they found the Mauser. And he became very good friends with Jim Garrison, right? Jim Garrison being the New Orleans district attorney who's the subject of the movie JFK. And Garrison, Roger Craig is writing about a conversation he had with Garrison, and Garrison was asking him to talk to the other officers and see what arrests of interest were made that day. And despite the fact that E. Howard Hunt was arrested in the railroad yard, or at least there's many people who say that's the case, including E. Howard Hunt's son, by the way, St. John Hunt says that when he saw the pictures of the man arrested in the train yard, he immediately was struck that it was his father. Anyhow, in spite of that fact, Roger Craig says the most interesting arrest, the most important arrest, the particularly most important arrest made that day was of a guy who came running out of the Dallas School Book Deposit. I'm sorry, he came running out of the Dow Tech building, which is across the street. The crowd in front of that building had heard shots fired from that building, and this guy came running out with this guilty look on his face, and the crowd grabbed him and handed him over to an officer named Vaughn. And Vaughn took him over and handed him over to at the police station, and he then disappeared. But Vaughn was able to tell, you know, to remember some of this stuff. He didn't remember what the guy's name was, but he remembered that the guy said that he was an independent oil man from Houston, which, that's George Bush. I mean, there certainly was only one independent oil man in Operation 40. There was only one independent oil man from Houston in Operation 40. Bush had been speaking at, he was the speaker, right, of a meeting of independent oil men that night in Dallas. So he's for certain, we can establish that he was in Dallas the night before. He's registered at the Sheraton. And how he's speaking at this conference of independent oil men. How many of those independent oil men were from Houston? Well, one that we know of, right, which was George Bush. It just seems to me beyond any shadow of a doubt that the independent oil man who was arrested running out of the Dow Tech building and who was then taken to the police station and then very, very quietly. Actually, Garrison says that this guy was put into the back of a police car while the crowd jeered at him and was then driven off into oblivion. It doesn't seem possible to me that there could have been another independent oil man from Houston in that building shooting at people other than George Bush. As I said, right, there's these people in Operation 40, and they have their jobs, their cover positions, but none of them are their cover positions independent oil man.
Mm. So that's why I chose to run Republican as opposed to running independent.
not sure I got that. What?
That's why he chose to run as a Republican rather than run as an independent oil man. Because I think that, look, oil men are the scum of the earth. That's a general feeling that a lot of people have. I don't think it's that's the case per se, because you're talking about the real high-up oil men who know that the price is inflated all up the wizzly do for absolutely no good reason, simply to keep control over everybody by maintaining control over the energy supply and buying out their competitors' refineries and shipping companies and things of that nature over time, and then shutting them down so it forces a global bottleneck so that they can raise the prices up for frickin' oil, which there's coming out of their ears, right? That's why oil massive cartels are the scum of the earth, no doubt about it. And so they're hooked into everything, aren't they? Because, you know, what society nowadays doesn't use petroleum?
Well, I think I might choose the oil men over the bankers at this point. But there's, you know, it's not even, you can't distinguish between them any longer, right?
They are each other. They are insane.
They are.
You know,
the Rockefellers are the bankers.
Yep. Oil and banking, that's why the bankers are so oily.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, we might be ready. I want to point out how neatly this fits, that you had to, everybody thought, geez, why would he call the FBI and, right, why would he make this ridiculous and incriminating phone call that puts him in the Dallas area that shows that he's on duty, and why would he do such a stupid thing? And I think that you can answer that question now, which is to say that he was scared out of his wits. Right? He's
yep.
just been arrested. He wasn't thinking clearly, and he was desperate to show that he hadn't been arrested in Dealey Plaza.
And indeed.
From the point
well,
of view of
Well, let's get out of this after the break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Welcome That's back. What you mean. You mean it's business time.
Welcome back, ladies
it's
and gentlemen.
Business. Business time.
To the show that's all about Nazi banker business time. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest, John Hankey. We kind of got brutally cut off by the break there, mate. I'm sorry if you wanted to continue what you were saying. I'll be much obliged. John, are you there? We appear to have lost him. That's not good. Or he might have his hand on the mute button of some description. But anyway.
Say that again. You don't hear me?
Oh, now I do.
Oh, all right. Okay. So we're ready to go.
Yes. Go for your
life. Yes, I was going to suggest that we, unless you had a better idea, that we take up the murder of John Kennedy Jr.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Well, why not? There's a number of other places we could go, but it's... People in New Zealand might have more of an affinity with John Kennedy Jr. than they do with John Kennedy Sr. I don't know, but they're probably familiar with the fact that he was killed in a plane crash, and they probably don't know very much more than that. And I didn't know very much more than that, but I was driving to its conference of teachers. I'm a teacher, and I heard it on the radio at 7 o'clock in the morning that his plane was missing, and that he was on a plane with his wife and his sister-in-law and a flight instructor. And I got home, and we went out to dinner, and I look up there, had a television in the restaurant, and I see that Dan Rather is on the television. And he has come down, and he has taken control of the broadcasting, and I see the ships going back and forth on the water. And I said, oh, he's still missing. He's dead. But the fact that Rather was there, I became literally sick to my stomach. The vision of Dan Rather involved in the coverage of John Kennedy Jr.'s death made it so that I couldn't eat, because Rather, when John Kennedy Sr. was murdered, the newspaper people in Dallas, of which there were probably a couple of thousand at that point, found out that there was the Zapruder film, right, that there was a motion picture of the assassination, and they said, oh, let us see it, let us see it, let us see it. And the FBI said, no, you can't. And they all stopped cold and said, you killed him, right? If you won't let us see the movie of the assassination, you must have killed him. And so they took a step back and said, oh, and, all right, we'll let one of you see it. And that one of the news people will be able to tell you that it confirms what we're saying. And the one person that they allowed to see the video was Dan Rather, who looked at it and then came out and announced that the video showed the president's head clearly jerked forward, when in fact it showed his head nearly being blown off out the back of the limousine. So I got very sick and very suspicious and went home and looked, you know, scoured the paper the next morning and couldn't find anything about a flight instructor. And I thought, well, that's just bizarre. I'm not crazy, and I wouldn't have imagined it. And why is it that there is no longer any flight instructor in the story? And that's really the key of solving the case. And I spent the next couple of years beating my brains out, digging up everything that I could, and, you know, going through the 350-page NTSB report with a fine-tooth comb, and I can report the following number of anomalies. The first one has to do with how it took them 15 and a half hours to send the first search aircraft into the location of where the plane went down, which was 14 miles off the shore of Martha's Vineyard. Why did it take them 15 and a half hours to do that? There's any number of reasons why it shouldn't have taken them more than a couple of minutes, and the first one is that Kennedy contacted the tower. And I have, it's in, right, we've been talking about JFK to the Bush connection, and the people can go online and look at it, and they can also, if they go to the website, bushkilledjfk.com, they can see an 8-minute version of the death of John Kennedy Jr., and you can find, if you Google assassination of John Kennedy Jr., you can watch the whole thing for free. Feel free to buy it, however, anyhow. In it, you get to see the actual television footage of this guy from the Coast Guard, Todd Burgun, saying that the Coast Guard can confirm that Kennedy contacted the tower at 9:39, that he was 14 miles off of the coast. He got shut down. He disappeared. You cannot find him. I have not been able to locate him. I talked to his supervisor, and the supervisor claimed that he didn't know who he was, which is just insane. But, you know, I don't know what happened to Todd Burgun, but they started saying, no, the Coast Guard never said that. And I called the radio, the television station, and said, I'd like you to copy the tape. Oh, we don't have copies of the tape. And if you did get it, you wouldn't find him on there because he didn't say it. But I managed to get a hold of this tape. The guy's on there. He says that Kennedy contacted the tower at 9:39 and it was 14 miles off. Well, if you go to the NTSB report, the NTSB report says that 9:39, Kennedy was 14 miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. Well, how could Todd Burgun have known that at 9:39 he was 14 miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard if he didn't know it? Because he learned it from the FAA, who told him that Kennedy had called them at 9:39. Anyway, all that stuff is very bizarre, and it ought to make a hair stand up on the back of your neck. The second thing is that if you contact the tower and you don't land within 5 minutes, they're supposed to send people out to look for you. If you contact the tower, they give you a code that you punch in to a thing called a transponder that's on your plane that sends out a signal that's received by the radar. And if you descend below 100 feet any place but on the tarmac of the airport, it causes an alarm to go off in the FAA that gives them your exact location. So that the FAA would have known before he hit the water his exact location and that he was going down. It shouldn't take 15 and a half hours to get there. It should take you a couple of minutes. In addition to which, the ELT, there's an emergency, all planes are equipped with an emergency locating transmitter that if you crash sends out a signal. And Kennedy's went off. You can confirm that it went off because ABC News showed it on the television screen that they were receiving the signal 14 miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. And when they recovered the plane, the battery was worn down. And I contacted the manufacturer. And he said, the battery's worn down. That's because it's been going off for the last week before they pulled the thing out. The third thing is that the family contacted, and this is a very bizarre story, that the family began contacting the FAA at 10 o'clock. The plane should have landed at about 9:40, and when he wasn't there at 10, the family began calling. The FAA wouldn't do anything. Senator Kennedy called at 11 o'clock in the evening, and the FAA ignored him and wouldn't do anything. At 2 o'clock in the morning, one of the family members gave up on the FAA. She'd been contacting the FAA from 11 until 2, and at 2 a.m. she gave up and she contacted the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard said, the Coast Guard in Boston, right, this thing that Kennedy is missing. And the Coast Guard in Boston said, oh, we'll get right on it. And unfortunately, they called the FAA, and the FAA said, oh, yeah, go to Long Island. We want you to go. We have an ELT going off at the end of Long Island. So they sent him 100 miles away from where they ought to have sent him. And then at 6 o'clock, Senator Kennedy woke up Clinton, and Clinton called up the Air Force and said, you better get some planes in the air. And they did, and they scattered them all over the Atlantic instead of sending them to the place that they should have sent them. The second issue has to do with the flight instructor. Kennedy always flew with the flight instructor. He had an injured leg, so he had reason to have a flight instructor. He was working on getting his instrument license, and he had passed the written exam, and he passed the performance exam, and all he needed to do to get it was to log hours with a flight instructor. In addition to which, I don't think I mentioned this, at 2 o'clock in the morning when the family contacted the FAA, I'm sorry, when they contacted the Coast Guard, they said there's a flight instructor on the plane, and the Coast Guard then released that information to the press, which is why I got it. Right, that at 2 o'clock in the morning, the family had told the Coast Guard that there was a flight instructor on the plane, and then suddenly there's no flight instructor on the plane. What the hell happened? Right, I mean, it's rather difficult to figure out. Kennedy told his best friend, Richard Blow, that afternoon. They had lunch, and Kennedy was on crutches because he broke his ankle a couple of months before, and it just had the cast taken off. And he told Richard Blow, oh, don't worry about it. I'm flying with a flight instructor. There's no witnesses that saw the plane take off, so there's nobody that can say that there wasn't a flight instructor on the plane. When planes crash, it's rare that you recover all the bodies. So even at this point, at this late date, you can't say that there was no flight instructor on the plane. But anyway, you keep that one in your bonnet. The next thing that I found in the NTSB report that blew me away was this line that they found the fuel valve in the off position, which is just utterly bizarre, that you turn the fuel valve off if the engine is on fire. That's why it's there. It's the reason that it's there. You can't do it by accident. It takes two hands. You have to push a release button at the same time that you're flipping a switch. And so we're supposed to believe that while this plane was hurtling towards the ocean, that John reaches down and pushes one button, the release button, while he's pushing a lever in order to conserve gasoline, I suppose, before the plane crashes into the water. It doesn't make any sense. And so I'm calling around to all of these, I just got out the Yellow Pages and I looked at flight instructors and I started calling people saying, you know, tell me about fuel valves, tell me about fuel valves, tell me about fuel valves. And this one guy says, we have this discussion about how strange it is. I had it with several people. And this one guy says, oh, you know, that reminds me, Egypt Air 990. And I said, what? Well, there was this Egyptian airliner about 5 months later where the guy walks in and he grabs the controls and he pushes the plane straight down, which is what Kennedy's plane did. I may have left that out. The Kennedy's plane went straight down. And there's four other pilots, and they all grab the guy, and they push him away, they pull him away, they get him away, and they start trying to recover the plane, and this guy turns around and turns off the fuel control valve. So, you know, this is a rather extraordinary coincidence, but I think it allows us to put the pieces together, which is that there was a flight instructor on the plane, the guy was, like the pilot on the Egyptian plane, probably a Manchurian candidate. They had programmed him that the plane is flying along, it's doing just fine, and then it goes straight down. They programmed him that when he hears the sign-off from the tower, which is when this happened, when he hears the sign-off from the tower, he grabs the controls and he sees the plane burst into flames, and the only way to put out the fire is, well, one, you turn off the fuel control valve, and the second thing you do is put the plane into the water, which is apparently what this guy did. The reason for the 15-and-a-half-hour delay was apparently so that they could recover the body of the flight instructor, which apparently they did. It's really extraordinary, and it's in the video. There's an interview with a guy, a captain in the Coast Guard, who the Coast Guard was told, you can search over Long Island and you can search over Martha's Vineyard, but we don't want you going out into the water. And this guy says that he saw helicopters out in the water what were they doing out there? Right? I mean, I may have said the Coast Guard. I meant to say the Air Force had banned anybody. It had banned the Coast Guard and the Civil Air Patrol from the waters off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. So who were these helicopters who were out there that this guy saw, and what were they doing? And, you know, I think it's the only... If I can pose the questions and force you to give an answer, I mean, how do you answer these questions? This is a 21st century leading edge technology assassination. If you recover the body of the flight instructor, then nobody can answer the question of how this guy was murdered. But it should have been, looking at the radar, it matches the Egyptian airliner. Looking at John Kennedy's radar, it matches the radar of the Egyptian plane crash. Which is to say that it was a suicide. There were no mechanical malfunctions on the plane. They weren't able to find anything wrong with the plane mechanically. It was flying along. The skies were clear. You could see the stars and the moon, and suddenly it comes crashing down, straight down. And, in fact, the NTSB bothered to interview people about John's mental condition, which would be appropriate, given the fact that somebody on that plane, it appears, committed suicide, and... It may have been John, right? Maybe there was no flight instructor. Maybe John Kennedy was depressed about being rich and having a beautiful wife, and maybe he just wanted to rub the noses. He on his way out the door that day.
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, being rich, having a beautiful wife, God, that sucks.
Yeah, seriously. On his way out the door, he's leaving work, and he sticks his head into this meeting of people who are worried about the finances. They're having a meeting about the finances, and he says, "Hey, don't worry about it. As long as I'm alive, this magazine's going to publish." George Magazine. Well, I mean,
now, did the magazine publish after his death by chance?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Did the magazine publish after his death?
For about 2 months. It shut down very, very quickly.
Liar!
But, see, so why would you want to kill John Kennedy? I mean, once you draw the conclusion, oh, by the way, I left out the fact that the Pentagon took over the news reporting. And it's really amusing, and, you know, please, watch the video. This woman from People Magazine says, hey, what the hell's up with this? That, you know, we show that you had radar information at 5 o'clock this morning, and you still, right, when they're saying this, you still haven't sent, you're still not searching the crash area. Why? If you have this information at 5 a.m. that we have now, and it goes, you get snow, right? You lose the picture and you lose the sound, and all you get is right the no signal. They cut the whole thing off, and when they come back, they're talking about something else. The question is,
indeed,
why would you want
indeed,
to kill-
and unfortunately, we're going to have to cut this signal. And when we come right back, we'll continue talking about it. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution.
Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Segment with John Hankey here today on the anniversary of JFK. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
So please, so
we were talking about
continue on if you can.
And there's all this screaming evidence, right, that he was murdered. Not the thing that screams most loudly, perhaps, and certainly most early, is the fact that the Pentagon took over the news reporting, right? And then started cutting off reporters whenever they asked a decent question. And there were lots of news people. I mean, I didn't discover this on my own. The first articles that I Googled the morning after the plane crash, there were people in Boston, reporters in Boston, who were, you know, dumbfounded and angry that there'd been this 15-and-a-half-hour delay in sending any sort of search aircraft to the crash site. And these guys were interviewing people in Boston, right? The baggage handler in Boston who said that he had contacted the FAA and that they didn't want to hear about it. He said, what plane are you calling about? Oh, John Kennedy Jr. And, you know, he had the N number, right, the official number of the plane, and he had the the airport of origin, which is, that's all you need. And that's, if you can give that to the FAA, they're supposed to say, okay, thanks, right, and that's the end of the conversation. They jump in and investigate it. And they put the guy off, and they were rude to him, and they didn't initiate an investigation ever. Anyhow, the question is, why would anybody want to kill John Kennedy Jr.? And when I started this, you know, I assumed that he was just, I have to admit, I have this prejudice against wealthy people, and I assumed that he was just an idiotic boob who'd been, you know, spoon-fed with his, right, had his life handed to him. And in fact, he lived in, you know, a rather ordinary neighborhood in New York City. His mother tried not to raise him to be a Bush, let's say. Right, he didn't go to school with the Bushes. He went to much more rather ordinary schools. And he was involved in all this charity work that he wasn't telling people about, and he was also, it turns out, an excellent pilot with 300 hours of flight time, which is enough to get, he could have been an instructor. And here he was, a pilot. So I started looking into his background, and it turns out George Magazine that he was publishing was doing some very interesting stuff, and one of the things, the really chilling things that he did is he published Oliver Stone. And if you're a Kennedy, you're not supposed to say the name Oliver Stone without spitting. And he not only didn't spit on Oliver Stone, he published him, and he published an article about the assassination of Napoleon. It turns out, you probably don't know, because I don't know anybody who did, and I wouldn't have known it if I hadn't read it in George Magazine. In this Oliver Stone article, Stone discusses the fact that the French exhumed the body of Napoleon and discovered arsenic in his hair follicles. The British poisoned Napoleon. He didn't die of natural causes in prison. He was poisoned. But Stone, while he's saying it, well, he says we shouldn't be surprised because this is standard operating procedure that powerful individuals murder their enemies, and they do it with a conspiracy, and they did it with Napoleon, and they did it with John Kennedy. And so he says that in this article that George Magazine published, which is bad enough. But then he also published an article written by the mother of the young man who was in prison in Israel for killing Yitzhak Rabin. And she says that her son was a tool of the Mossad, that it was the Mossad that killed Yitzhak Rabin. Well, geez, that's rather like saying that it was the CIA that killed John Kennedy, isn't it? And here is George Magazine publishing this story. His editor begged him, Richard Blow, I mentioned Richard Blow said that John told him, oh, don't worry, I'm going to be flying with a flight instructor, 2 hours before he left the office and took off. Richard Blow begged him not to publish this article. He thought it was way too inflammatory, would get them into way too much trouble, but they went ahead and they published it anyway. At John's insistence. Well, all right, so you can see some motive, but I was sitting there wrestling with the question of who would possibly want to kill John Kennedy Jr., and I swear I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and my brain was saying, the father killed the father, the son killed the son. And I really believe that I used to teach in Watts in South Central Los Angeles, in the toughest, most dangerous neighborhood and poorest neighborhood in Los Angeles. And I had gang members and killers in my classes, and they explained to me that if you want to sit down at the table with the biggest, baddest gang members, you have to commit a murder. And they, in front of them, so that they can trust you, right? You can't rat them out because they've got as much on you as you have on them. So, for Bush to be, I genuinely believe that for Bush Sr. to become president, that a very, very integral part of him becoming eligible, he was a terrible politician. He lost elections all the time. He had to commit this murder. And when he committed that murder, if you look at his background, and this is all in the video, and it's worth watching for that reason, you see that he was very, very carefully, had his hand held, George Bush Sr., I'm speaking of, through his entire political career. And this is obviously the case with George Bush Jr., but so where was George Bush Jr. the day that John Kennedy Jr. died? And he was flipping pancakes in Iowa at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he got on a bus, and he disappeared for 3 days. This is, right, the New Hampshire primary, which he was losing, right? He was behind in the polls. This is in July. the primary election was the following, I think it's in November. In any case, it's that winter. He takes off, and he just disappears, rather than going on doing the hard work in this very, very crucial state where he's behind. He disappears, and when the news media ran to him, because the editors were all saying, oh, hey, you're right, the son of the president, Kennedy, died. Let's see what the son of another president, and the one that they could come up with was George Bush. So they ran to George Bush's campaign headquarters and said, we want to talk to Bush about what he has to say about John Kennedy's death. And Karen Hughes, his campaign manager, was unable to say where he was or when he would be back, which is rather extraordinary. And then there are reports that he turned up that night, that Saturday night, partying at the Bohemian Grove in Northern California. And I don't understand this, but I'm going to say it. The Bushes attend that meeting on a fairly regular basis, but that particular summer they refused to admit that they were there. There's witnesses who say that they were there, but this is one that he didn't want to be seen partying, or seen to be partying, which he was indeed, after the death of John Kennedy Jr. Anyway, but I mean, to me, it's more than a little bit extraordinary that his campaign staff wouldn't be able to answer either the question of where he was, nor the answer the question of when he would be back.
Yeah, I find it when very powerful and important people just suddenly disappear and whatnot like that. They're not exactly a pair of frickin' car keys, are they? The only reason why they've disappeared is because they've intentionally disappeared.
There's something going on, right? That's supposed to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck and let you know that you're on to something. I don't know whether you'll find it of interest or not. Guess whose whereabouts are undetermined when Gabriel Giffords. You know who Gabriel Giffords is?
Yeah, the congresswoman who got shot in the head by some crazy mind control victim.
Yes. Yeah, by the mind control victim. I'm very, very obviously by the mind control victim, right? I mean, this guy had been rejected by the Army. The Army says that they rejected him because, I mean, he passed all the tests with flying colors, and they rejected him because he had smoked marijuana. They didn't give me a break. They don't, I can tell you, right? They don't reject people because they had smoked marijuana. That is not something that happened. So they're lying about it, right? There's something very, very, very fishy. Anyway, Mitt Romney was allegedly in the United Arab Emirates at that time. What he was doing and why the hell he would be in the United Arab Emirates is not a question you're going to get answered anytime soon. But he's missing in action. You can't point to where he was in the United States at that point. Anyway, he has a very strange relationship with the United Arab Emirates. In any case, we'll just let that one go. But
well, we're coming to the end of the show. So before you go, I'd like you to plug your movie and plug your websites again, if you will.
BushKilledJFK.com, and if you go there, there's all sorts of stuff. But what I have, but you will also, if you scroll down, there's a very long and very well footnoted and very well documented version of what we discussed tonight about the involvement of George Bush Senior as a shooter in the Kennedy assassination. And if you click on the Ask the Director button at the top, there's also a very long and very well documented article about it. I mean, what is it about the military threatening to kill Obama?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, so why does it make any difference? Why study the Kennedy assassination all these years later? And I would say that it's because every president of the United States, there was a comedian named Bill Hicks who used to say that they would show every president gets, his first day in office, gets shown a video of the Kennedy assassination shot from the grassy knoll. That every president knows that Kennedy was murdered by the banking elite, and that they better mind their manners.
Yep, I think that's a good place and positive place to leave it. Thank you very much, John Hankey, for coming on the show today. JFK 2 and BushKilledKennedy.com, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening in, and we'll see you again sometime.